The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Judge Richard K. Eating presiding over docket number 19-00111, Bogart Industries v. the United States. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record, starting with the plaintiff's counsel?
Yes, my name is George Thompson with the firm Thompson & Associates, appearing on behalf of Borgo Industries Limited.
Good morning, Judge. This is Kelly Christine. Apologies. Your Honor, this is Kelly Christine from the Department of Justice, and also on the line is Nikki Calving from the Department of Commerce.
Okay. Well, welcome to you all, and I hope you're all well, and thanks for consenting to do this over the phone. Mr. Thompson, you're the plaintiff in this case. Can you start out?
Certainly, Your Honor. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you. We see two deficiencies in the challenge scope determination. So to give a brief introduction to our argument, first, the determination failed to take into account the authorities that are specified in 19 CFR section 351.225K1. These include the descriptions of the merchandise in the petition, initial investigations by both Commerce and
if I understand this correctly, part of your argument is that the essential function to reduce friction is necessary in order for your product to be included in the order. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so the government says that they never have to find their way to K2 because K1 takes care of the case because the plain words of the order contain your product. What's wrong with that?
Well, Your Honor, it's an incomplete analysis. So looking at the plain language of the order is a starting point, not an ending point. And as decisions of this court as well as the Federal Circuit have directed, when a party presenting a scope request asserts that there are elements of the description found in the K1 determinations that have a bearing on the analysis, the Commerce Department is required to take those into account. And so the first error that we see here is that Commerce said, look, you have, in this case, two tapers in a flanged housing unit, end of story. But our view is that is a legally deficient mode of analysis because the department was obligated to go on and to take into account the determinations that are listed in K1, which it failed to do in reaching the initial conclusion that this merchandise is covered by the scope. And it literally said these are flanged TRBs or housed TRBs, therefore they're included for that reason alone. That's inadequate.
And is it adequate because?
It's inadequate because it did not take into account the findings of, the information in the petition, the findings of the Commerce Department and the Commission, as well as of this court in powertrain components that address the requirement, or as has been presented by the Commerce Department itself, the essential function of reducing friction. So Commerce was obligated to take those additional authorities into account. It can't make a facial determination based on merely the fact that this is a flanged housing, or a flanged housing with bearings in it.
And just explain to me once more why they can't.
As this court most recently in the TMB 440AE case has stated, when a scope request addresses the K1 factors. So the K1 factors, of course, go beyond the plain language of the scope and relies on these administrative precedents or administrative documents to define the product covered by the order, the Commerce Department is obligated to address those elements.
Okay. Great. Please go on with your argument.
Okay. So our initial argument, or the initial deficiency that we found, was the failure to address the K-1 authorities. Second, the determination did go on to cite some prior scope determinations relating to automotive and non-automotive wheel hub units, and concluded that these are precedent for covering culture hub units. And the Commerce Department's determination also cited this court's decision in powertrain components. However, the ruling's determination on this point is flawed and unsupported by substantial evidence, because the products addressed in those rulings were categorically different than culture hub units. Specifically, those products incorporated tapered roller bearings for friction reduction purposes. And indeed, the rulings themselves establish friction reduction as the essential function of subject merchandise. So this isn't Orgo's formulation of what the essential function of in-scope merchandise is. This is taken from the Commerce Department's own determinations in prior analyses of the scope of the TRB's from China order. Commerce's determination disregards the fact that the TRBs in culture hub units cannot and do not reduce friction because they have been subject to excess preload compression. And that is the quality that takes the culture hub units outside the order scope. So we see the case as turning on two points. First, is the order's coverage limited to products with friction reduction as their essential function? And the K-1 authorities are very clear that this is a prerequisite. Commerce and this court, as well as the International Trade Commission, have identified friction reduction as the essential function of in-scope merchandise. And then second, do the culture hub units meet this requirement? And the factual record establishes that they do not. So that's in general, the two deficiencies that we see in the Commerce Department's determination. Now, we believe that the K-1 factors should lead to a finding that the products are excluded simply because they lack the essential function of friction reduction. However, if the court were to find that the record does not have sufficient information on this point, we believe it does, but if not, then the appropriate remedy would be to send the case back to Commerce for evaluation of the K-2 factors. We do not believe that's necessary, however, because the uncontested record is that these products do not reduce friction. In fact, the whole point is to increase resistance because of their application in plowing functions.
Okay. All right, I think I got this, but if there's anything else you'd like to say, I'd like to hear it.
Well, certainly, I'd like to go into a little more detail if you'll indulge me on the substantial evidence point. So as I said, we see a legal deficiency in the methodology used, but also the Commerce Department's fact findings are unsupported by substantial evidence. And in particular, this court, again in TMB, the TMB case, has said that fact findings or that application of the K-1 factors involves fact findings that are reviewed based on substantial evidence. And here we believe the Commerce Department's analysis falls short. So first, Commerce cited the new trend scope determination and this court's decision in powertrain components as precedent for including all hub units. That approach ignored the rationale for those determinations as well as the substantial differences between wheel hub units and Coulter disc hubs for plows. And we've addressed these in the brief. I don't want to belabor the point, but the categorical difference is that wheel hub units for vehicles reduce friction so that the vehicles are able to move. Coulter disc hubs aren't used on wheels at all. They are applied to plows and are used to increase resistance, not to reduce friction. So the reliance on Nutrend and powertrain to say, well, hub units are hub units, so the Orgo products are covered as well, that's simply incorrect. It ignores these crucial distinctions between the two products. Then Commerce also stated that...
Is this a functionality argument, or is this an end-use argument?
It's functionality. We are not basing our case on end-use. It's that the threshold requirement that the products have the functionality of reducing friction is not met, and therefore they're excluded from the scope altogether, as opposed to being encompassed by the scope but qualifying for an end-use exception. As the Commerce Department has pointed out, and we don't contest, there is no end-use exception written into the order. That's not our position. We're not covered in the first place. Commerce also made the observation that the TRBs included in the Coulter disc hubs would move freely under proper preload. That may be true, but it's irrelevant. The products that are imported do not have proper preload, that is, within the range recommended by the manufacturer. Instead, they have excess preload. Excess preload essentially precludes the products from acting in a friction reduction capacity. So,
can you explain preload to me?
Well, preload is a form of compression that affects the ability of the rolling elements to move freely. And so different types of bearings and bearings for different applications will have different levels of compression applied to them. Indeed, with no compression, from what I understand, the rolling elements will kind of just move around within the bearing race. And
so is the purpose of the load when they're imported to keep them from whirling around in shipment?
Oh, no. It's to keep them from moving when the Coulter disc hubs are attached to the plow. If they moved around in shipment, I don't know that that would make any difference. I don't think that's an issue for bearings in general. But here, this is based on the functionality of the plow and the Coulter disc hubs that attach to it, which is they're designed to increase resistance. And so the rolling element that is incorporated within them is compressed to a point that it doesn't roll at all. So it has no anti-friction functionality.
Well, I wonder why they're applied to the plow as roller bearings then. You think they just put on a brake. Is there any point in their use on the plow, not that we're really talking about that, where the pressure is released and they do whirl around?
No, the pressure is never released. There's compression throughout the process. Now, what happens is the plow is usually pulled by a tractor. And so the plow itself is going to be tumbling into the earth. And as it does so, it will force the Coulter disc to rotate. And so there is rotation going on that overcomes the preloaded or excessively preloaded bearings. So the bearings are forced to move based on the power of the tractor compressing the disc hub against the earth. Now, the Commerce Department has said this makes them anti-friction devices because the disc actually does rotate, but it rotates despite the bearings, not because of them. So the fact that the disc rotates doesn't make it an anti-friction device. The whole point is that the device is intended to increase friction, and the pressure of the plow against the earth forces it to rotate.
Okay.
So that's a very different function than, say, a wheel hub unit, where it's the bearing itself that permits the wheel to turn. Here, the bearing is intended to stop the plow from the disc from turning, except when excess power is used to force it against the earth. So
right. I'm trying to figure this out.
Okay.
So I keep going with your argument. But.
Certainly. So the fact that cultured disc hubs might move freely under different preload compressions really is immaterial. What we have here is a product that is excessively preloaded, and therefore it can't move freely. And we believe that the orders or the determinations finding in this regard is really beside the point. It's describing a different product than the one that was presented for importation, and as well as the Commerce Department's scope ruling. The ruling also compares cultured disc hubs to automotive brakes on wheel hubs. So it said, well, disc hubs are like wheel hubs because wheel hubs have brakes that stops the rotation. So, in fact, they're not always freely moving, but the distinction here, or this analogy is a false one, wheel hub units have the ability to move freely when the brake is disengaged. Cultured disc units are unable to move freely at all because they are always under compression. So if you wanted to make an analogy, I still don't think it's a good one, but a cultured disc hub would be like a wheel unit where the brake is always engaged, so you cannot move the car in the way that it's intended. With a wheel hub, the brake is either on or off. With a cultured disc unit, the ability to move is always turned off. I already noted Commerce has asserted that a cultured blade can rotate under sufficient force, but the mere fact that it can move doesn't make it a friction reduction device. The movement occurs against the resistance provided by the cultured disc hub due to the excessive preload, as well as the addition of scrapers to the disc unit. So it's the force of the earth that makes the disc hub move, not the bearings in it. And Commerce also erroneously characterizes the cultured disc hub as permitting the plow to turn freely. This is found in footnote 44 of the ruling. That's a factually incorrect statement. There is no free rotation. If you were to take the roller elements and try to move it, say, with your finger, you couldn't do it. It's basically locked in place due to the compression. So there's no turning freely provided by the culture hub units. In that regard, they fail to meet the requirements that have been found in the K1 authorities that the product has the essential function of reducing friction. They do not. So I think I covered our various points, in particular the deficiencies that we see in the commerce determination. I'd be happy to take questions, of course, or...
Okay, this is a question that may not make any sense and that may not have anything to do with this case.
Mm-hmm.
When you're plowing a field, which I've done, a plow is normally thought of as a, put it exactly, but a stick that moves through the earth and turns it over.
Mm-hmm.
The plow sheds the, or it's shaped in such a way that it sheds the earth. And then after you plow the field, you often disc it. Now, is this thing, I know that disc is being used here two ways. Is this thing for use with a, just a regular gang plow, or is this used for one of these giant discs?
Oh, I think it's just a regular plow. We have an illustration in the original scope request, so I'm just going to see if I can...
Well, if you can direct me to it. Just direct me to the picture.
Yeah,
envision this thing.
This is Exhibit B of the scope request. Shows where the coulter hubs are attached to a plow. And actually it helps to illustrate the size plow that it may be used with. I don't know if there's any maximum or minimum sizes.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
I don't have any other questions. Let's see. Who else is there? Who's on the phone for the government?
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Kelly Kristiniak for the government.
Okay. So what's wrong with Mr. Thompson's argument?
So, Your Honor, it sounds like there's not really, it's not contested that we're talking about a planned housing unit here, which I believe is the phrase that Mr. Thompson just used. There is no discussion of friction in the actual language of the order, and as put it, there's no end-use exception. So essentially what we're talking about is a product that it appears would otherwise fall under the order but for the fact that this compression is applied to the two TRVs that are placed into the hub, during the manufacturing process. And in support of their argument that is something that factor, that function, or that process removed this product from the scope of the order, they refer to language in both the ITC report and the powertrain decision from the court, which of course was a scope decision on the very same order, citing some language about how friction reduction is an essential quality. As you noted in our brief, specifically with regard to the powertrain decision, the discussion about friction, if you read the court's opinion, all occurs in the context of a case analysis. And it's an interesting, obviously it's quite relevant because it's the same order, but the court actually undertook both a K1 and a K2 analysis because there were two products at issue, a motor wheel hub with an anti-lock brake system or ABS and one without. The one without, Commerce only did the K1 analysis, did not proceed to K2. And if you read the court's analysis of the K1 determination made by Commerce, there's no discussion at all of the friction-reducing capacity of these wheel hubs. All of the language talking about friction is in the K2 analysis as discussed by the court. And essentially what plaintiff is saying is by virtue of having undertaken a K2 analysis in another determination under this order, it almost serves to grandfather the friction requirement up into the language of the order, so much so that a product that would otherwise be covered by the scope of the order is now outside the scope of the order because of this discussion in the court decision and in the determination made by Congress.
If it was important there, why isn't it important here?
It's not that it's not relevant to the analysis, but I think I would specifically refer the court to page 1346 of the powertrain component decision, which I think illustrates this point well, In that language, the court favorably cited to a determination on colored television receivers, where in that case, Commerce noted that the fact that subject merchandise was neither specifically included nor excluded, from an order, and subsequently Commerce determined that additional features do not change the primary nature, of an in-scope product do not serve to move the product outside of the scope order. So whether the court looks at whatever reduction in friction reducing capacity there is as an additional feature or a removal of a feature, so because that language does not actually appear within the scope of the order, it's really not relevant to the analysis to say one phase. And the mere fact that Commerce had previously undertaken a case to analysis doesn't then serve to move the end-use analysis up into the K-1 stage of Commerce's determination here.
The reason that it's just saying, I'll just ask this question again. Why was it important there but not important here?
I don't want to speculate, obviously, Your Honor. I mean, it's something that was discussed by Commerce in that determination with regard to whether or not the wheel hub with the spindle and the two TRBs fell within the scope of the order. And yes, it did note that the friction-reducing capacity was part of the wheel hub unit there. Therefore, it was part of the justification, again, underneath the K2 analysis, for including it under the scope of the order. But that was with regard to the product with the anti-lock brake system on it, which I think was part of Commerce's analysis. The fact that there was a brake attached as opposed to the wheel hub without the ABS under the K1 analysis. And so I'm not sure if I quite answered the court's question, but it's hard to speculate as to why Commerce placed importance on that or not. But I do think it bears noting that this is one of many features of the product. It's not the only feature of the product.
Could it be because one thing was an actual brake?
Yes, I believe you're right. Yes. I mean, the distinction between the two products in powertrain is that one has the ABS system attached and one does not. So yes, one has a brake on it. And so that was why Commerce proceeded on to the K2 factor. But again, by virtue of having determined that that product falls under the scope of the order, when it comes to the K1 analysis, Commerce looked at the type of product that it determined fell under the scope of the order. And again, whether or not friction reduction is not actually included in the language of the order. And so Commerce made the determination that notwithstanding the plaintiff's...
Well, isn't this a contentious argument that it wasn't included in the order at the time that the brake system was being looked at? And if it was important then, why is it important now? Maybe I'm misinterpreting his argument, but that's why I'm asking this question.
Yes, Your Honor. It's the exact same order. And again, our response to that is that the fact, again, that Commerce undertook the K2 analysis and looked at the friction-reducing capacity of that second product does not then serve to make friction reduction a necessary element under the scope of the order because the language of the order remains as is. Commerce uses the K1 factors to interpret the order and to look at other products that have fallen under it. But it does not follow that every single product that Commerce has previously determined falls under the order.
Maybe it should. This is a lawsuit.
Understood, Your Honor. And again, I think that's where it comes back to Commerce's discretion with regard to issues like this. I know we cited the cases in our brief, but you know, the Duferco's appeal from the Federal Circuit in 2002 notes that there is significant deference to Commerce's interpretation of its orders. In the Walgreens Company case on the circuit in 2010, notes that interpretation of orders is at the very heart of Commerce's expertise. So the fact that the plaintiff may disagree with Commerce's analysis does not in and of itself render it an abuse of discretion, which is essentially what the assertion would have to be there. You know, Commerce is entitled to its deference with regard to interpreting its orders.
Is there anything more to your argument?
Certainly, Your Honor. Just to speak about this, the friction issue and reduction. Again, Commerce's determination was that It did not need to look at the end use, which is essentially what the friction argument is in the K-1 analysis. However, in response to the arguments from plaintiff at the administrative level, it did make this finding that, by virtue of what the hub does, there must be some friction reducing capacity in the product. And it noted that the ITC report, while it did note the language that I believe the plaintiff cited to on in the footnote 44 in the actual scope ruling, Commerce noted that the language that is cited in that footnote is the ITC is talking about TRVs as machine components that permit free motion between moving and fixed parts by holding or guiding the moving parts to minimize friction or wear. And Commerce noted that free rotation is not defined. So even if the actual movement is very, very slight, even if Commerce were required to consider the friction reducing capacity of this in its K-1 phase, which again, our assertion is that they were not, there's no definition given in the ITC report as to what amount of friction reduction is required to have the product fall under the odor. So again, just to quickly summarize, Your Honor, the fact that these TRVs are subjected to compression prior to being placed into the wheel hub does not serve to remove them from the scope of the order when the actual language of the order itself makes no mention of end use with regard to whether or not it's on a plow or a motor vehicle, and does not actually talk about friction qualities.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Crossman, do I have a final word?
Yes, I appreciate that, Your Honor. Just to address the arguments that counsel raised. First, the argument that the product, or that the qualities of the product, that is friction reduction, do not appear on the face of the order, we believe is legally flawed. And I won't rehash my prior discussion, but the determinations of this court as well as of the Federal Circuit direct Commerce to look at the K-1 factors, at least when these have been raised in a scope ruling request before Commerce. So the absence of any reference to friction reduction in the order is, as I said, that's the starting point. It's not the ending point. Then it's true that the powertrain components determine or powertrain components decision of this court, as well as the scope determination underlying it, used the reference to friction reduction in the context of a K2 analysis. However, my view of that is it makes no difference. Under the Commerce Department's regulation, K-1 requires the department to take into account the determinations of the secretary, including prior scope determinations. It does not distinguish between determinations based on the K-1 analysis or the K-2 analysis. And our position is that the determination in the new trend scope request and as affirmed by this court in powertrain components, establishes that friction reduction is an essential function. That's not a point that only arises in a K2 analysis. It informs both the Commerce Department's understanding of what the scope of the order is, as well as this court's review of the Commerce Department findings. There's no difference between a K-1 and K-2 analysis in determining what the scope of the order is. And if you will indulge me for just a moment, I can address the question that you raised as to why the Commerce Department went down that path in the New Trend ruling. I was the counsel for New Trend, although New Trend did not appeal the case, so Powertrain Components was a different party that appealed the case to this court. But the argument there was that the wheel hub units that were the subject of the scope analysis had an additional function, which was braking capacity. They had anti-lock braking system components built into them. So the Commerce Department found that it was unable to address that point in a K1 analysis because it was unclear whether a tapered roller bearing, in that case it was another flanged unit in a housing, was covered or not. So it undertook the K2 analysis to effectively define the attributes of covered merchandise in that context to determine whether a product with additional functionality was covered or not. So the K2 analysis looked to the functionality of the article and came up with guidelines that helped to define not only whether that product was covered, but really what the scope of the order is. And one of the fundamental the cornerstone determination in the new trend ruling was that the WillHub units, even with ABS components, were served the fundamental essential purpose of reducing friction. So that is the basis for certainly our argument that friction reduction is part of the order. The Commerce Department said so and didn't say, well, it's only for purposes of a K2 analysis. It was defining what products were within the scope of the order. And so the distinction between the K1 and the K2 analysis, really for purposes of applying that determination of the Secretary, is really a meaningless distinction. Commerce has said Commerce has identified a feature of the products that are covered, and that applies across the board, in our view. Then,
Because the product was, substantially different.
The product
that was being looked at, because of the bearing?
Yes.
It was part of the ABS system, actually
yes.
Had some, slowed the car down too.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I wonder a little bit why that notion should apply in this case, which has no ABS.
Well, because
quality to it.
Well, Your Honor, in that case, Commerce looked to the definition of products covered by the order. So it helped, it used that analysis to determine the attributes. So that applies across the board. It's not just ABS WillHub units. It's anything that's conceivably within the scope of the order has to be judged against that standard.
Is there anything else to your argument?
Yes. Finally, I'd like to address the point that there's no, say, guidelines or definition of freely moving was provided by the International Trade Commission. This goes back to footnote 44. The fact is that the culture hub units do not allow for any movement. So the excess preload, the compression that's applied to the rolling element, means that it doesn't freely move in any under any definition. So the as a consequence, it does not have friction reduction capabilities. And we've addressed that point in the brief, but the government's position would be, well, anything with a bearing in it is going to have some sort of free-rolling capability, but that does not apply to these products because they don't have that ability.
They don't have the ability to freely move.
Yes.
They move if enough pressure is placed on them.
Exactly.
They move.
Yes. But that's not friction reduction.
No. Okay. I got it. Okay. Is there anything else, Mr. Patterson?
No, I think that covers it, Your Honor.
Okay. Is there anything else for the good of the order that we should be taking up here today?
Your Honor, may I just briefly address one question that you have? I believe there's a response in the scope ruling that I would just wish to point the court order to.
Sure.
So the question about the breaks and whether and the function that serves with regard to the ADS deal hubs, just later on in that same footnote that we talked about, footnote 44, which is on page 7 of the scope ruling, Commerce actually specifically addressed that. The second half of the footnote reads, additionally, Bordeaux points out that it attaches wheels and scrappers which prevent free rotation.
Can I ask you to speak a little more slowly?
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize. Additionally, Bordeaux points out that it attaches wheels and scrappers which prevent free rotation, citing there to the request. This is similar to brake pads on an automobile, which also function to prevent free rotation of the wheel, which otherwise is able to turn free through 360 degrees of motion. So I did just want to note that Commerce did address that argument about the brake and its determination. And so again, I'll just restate that it seems that it's not contested that but for the excessive preload applied to these tapered roller bearings, this product would fall under the scope of the order. As plaintiff mentioned, taking into account the friction reduction, it does not mean that the friction reduction quality is dispositive of whether the product falls under the order. And so we would just request the court sustain Commerce's determination.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Patterson, you have a final word on that?
Well, yes, Your Honor. The analogy, we believe, is misplaced. The scrapers are not similar to brake pads in that brakes will stop a freely rotating wheel, but the wheel, when the brakes are let up on, can move again. The scrapers, in this case, if they were removed, the wheel, the coulter unit would still not freely rotate because of the excess preload. So the scrapers provide additional resistance, but they do not otherwise, or they cannot otherwise be, say, taken off in the sense that vehicle brakes are. And once that occurs, then the coulter unit has the ability to freely rotate. The scrapers provide additional resistance, but they enhance the function of the coulter hub units, but they don't allow those units to freely rotate otherwise. So we believe it's a false analogy.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. And I guess, unless there are any other things we should take up, this court is adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Have a nice day.
All right.